Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for already touching us. We could leave today and our hearts would already be full because you touched us. But Lord, I just pray for individuals right now as we begin to move into a subject that maybe they haven't thought about for a while, Lord. And as we begin to look at it, I pray that we are just open and honest with you with our entire hearts. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject that I'm going to talk about actually began several weeks ago as I was with my wife, Sandra. She went for an ultrasound, and just before you start freaking out, she's not having a baby, okay? All right, just think, you know, ultrasound, you think babies, all right? We're done, all right? We're done. All done that. But what it was, the doctor thought she may have some kind of liver problem, so we went to have that checked out. By the way, she's okay, just so everybody knows, the liver's fine. But checked out. So I'm there, and it was at my daughter's work. She's an RN, and so she was in the room, and, you know, and I was there looking at the screen. And I think it's really cool. You know, it looks so real, you know, so you see the little organs all in there. So they're showing that, you know, the liver and the kidneys, and guy was going around. You know, it was kind of like this. It was kind of like going to science class. You know, my wife was the guinea pig. You know, this is this part and this is this part. But what happened is, as part of the, as the time was going on, the tech guy got into a conversation with my daughter, and they're chatting away. And meanwhile, the little ultrasound thing ended up on Sandra's heart. So I'm looking at her heart beating. And all of a sudden, in just moment, I'm sure it was just seconds of time, but it seemed like all of eternity. Everything all kind of froze. And I'm just looking at the heart beating. And I realize, you know, make a fist. That's about the size of what your heart is. And I want you to think about something. Your heart, just as I saw Sandra's beating, it beats every moment of your life. Now, if it stops, it better not stop for long, because that means you're signing off to go into glory, all right? But essentially, for most of us, it beats continually, millions upon billions of times. Now, I want you to think about this. While you're sleeping, it's beating. While you're awake, it's beating. While you're excited about something, while you're sad. In other words, through every emotion, every event, every moment of time in your life, that heart just keeps beating away. Now, it changes its beat, obviously. At different times, when you're resting, it slows down. But do you have to tell your heart to keep beating? Do you have to say, hey, heart, you know, please speed up for me. You know, I need some help. No, it automatically does all of that for most of us. Amen. And so it's there beating and beating and beating. So as I looked at my wife's heart and saw it beating, first of all, the first ooey gooey feeling came to me. Her heart beats for me. That was the first thing. But then as I went on and just thought about all the different aspects, and then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and says, and here's what he says, what about your heart? Now, at first, I'm like, what do you mean my physical heart? I'm okay. But that's not what he was talking about. He was actually asking about a different kind of heart. And what I want to do today is to talk to you a little bit, and we're going to kind of shift back and forth between our natural hearts and our spiritual hearts. And so to begin to do that, you know, we need to kind of define what heart is. In other words, when we see the word heart in the Bible, what is that? So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it gives us a bit of a definition to help us begin to understand. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bring this scripture up because it very clearly shows that mankind is made up of three parts, having a spirit, a soul, and a body. So let's take a moment and kind of define what those are, all right? Let's go with the easy one first, all right? The body part. The body, the Apostle Peter refers to it as our tent. It's the part that, hey, you see my tent right now. I've got not too much hair on here, but this is the tent. This is it. You know, as you look in the mirror, that's your tent that you see. In other words, it's the physical body that you dwell in. All right? So that's pretty straightforward. Now, the next two are a little more interesting, your spirit and your soul. The spirit is that part which is in you that connects with God, that contacts God. In other words, it's your spirit that communicates with God's spirit on the inside of you, if you can kind of picture that in your mind. All right, now let me go on. Your soul now is your mind, your will, and your emotions, kind of that decision-making part. Now, here's the problem with this. Here I am trying to define these three different things, spirit, soul, and body. And I wish it was that simple. Okay, your body's over here. Your soul is here, right? And the spirit's here. So there's three pieces of a pie, so to speak. Can I tell you right now, that's not how it is. It's more like spaghetti. Everything's all interwound all together, and it's very difficult to actually see or sense the difference between them. And I'm going to say something. I'm not sure whether you should worry too much about that. And let me give you an example. How many people somewhere along the way have received bad news? Maybe by a telephone call or someone personally came to you. Like horrible news, all right? So how did you react? Did your mind just say, oh, okay. You know, and that was kind of the end of it? No, in some cases there might be tears. In some cases, if the news is horrible enough, I've seen people faint. You know, literally they just fall over and they can't help it. There's all kinds of anxiety. In other words, here's my point. Every part of that individual, spirit, soul, and body is impacted. Even in their spirit, if bad news comes, you're grieving on the inside. They're all interconnected. And we need to just understand that's the way it is. So then where does the heart fall into this? Well, the heart is, in a sense, a mixture of all three. Primarily, though, soul and spirit. You know, your body, in a sense, follows what your soul and spirit does, if you know what I'm saying. In other words, you're hurting on the inside, you're grieving about something, and you begin to cry. Well, is it your body that's crying, or is it your mind and your heart, in a sense, that's saying, hey, I'm sad, and tears begin to flow? So you see how it's all intertwined together. So how many people understand it's intertwined together? Don't try to figure it out. Okay, all right, so that's the way it is. Now, I want you to see this a little bit further here. It says, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. That word sanctify, it means holy, but more than that, it's the process of being made holy. In other words, we've been declared holy when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Are we declared holy? Yes, we are. That's what Scripture says. In fact, if you never did one thing and your heart all of a sudden quit beating a moment after you received Jesus, where would you go? Straight to glory, right? That's a done deal. Yet there's a part of us that sanctification is still working on. In other words, we're made holy at the cross, yet we're continually being made holy. And that's another part of us. That's our mind being what? According to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, being renewed daily in Christ Jesus. So there's a process of being made holy. In other words, there's parts of you that isn't quite right yet. I got my hand up. No one else put their hand up. I guess I'm the only one that's not quite right yet. All right. You know what? Yeah, there we got a few honest people put up their hand. Hey, thank you for supporting me. All right. You know, I was kind of feeling like maybe I shouldn't be up here. You know, maybe somebody else should be. But the point is that we're a work in progress. In other words, if someone could look inside of our lives, there's construction signs up. You know what I'm saying? And little orange, you know, bumper things to make sure you go around certain areas. We're still working through some things. Yet we're still born again. We're still on our way to heaven. And that's an issue that some people deal with, especially new believers. You make a mistake, and all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm not saved anymore. And that shouldn't be your way of thinking. You have been saved by the blood of Christ. He did it all for you. And you can't undo that. If you've accepted Christ, you can't undo what He's done. Now, the thing is, the reason why you feel that way is because you feel you've hurt God, in a sense, by what you've done, your sin, your mistake. But that doesn't unsave you. What does the word say? If you sin, confess it before God, repent of it, and move forward. But you don't have to accept Jesus again. You hear what I'm saying? It's just part of the walk. You know, when my kids were born into my family and they made a mistake, I didn't make them leave and I have to adopt them again. That seems silly, right? Well, in a sense, it's the same for us as believers. All we're doing is keeping a clean slate. And I believe we should do that daily, church. Amen? Every day, either in the morning or at night, for me, I do it morning and night, actually. I just say, Lord, is there anything I need to give to you? And as He shows it to me, I do just like the song says, I bring it to the cross and I give it to Him. And then I move on from there. And sometimes I have to do it a couple of times. How many people have had to do that? I'm doing laundry, starting to do laundry more, and I forgot to put the little towel thingy in, you know, that sheet. And I'm like, is it really that important? You know what I'm saying? So then I had this suit, this overcoat jacket that I was going to wear, and the thing was covered with these little spots. And I'm like, Sarah, what is this? I just washed this thing. What is all this stuff? And she's like, well, you put the little sheet in, right? I'm like, what sheet? I pretended I didn't know. And she's like, you got to put the sheet in. And so you don't realize sometimes that sin can be like that. And our attitude, we give it to the Lord, and it's like it comes back and sticks to you like lint. And the thing is, you have to just keep giving it. After a while, what my wife did, she got one of those little roller things, and she rolled me and got rid of it all. And so that's kind of like what the Lord does. You just got to go to Him, and He'll take the little lint roller thing, and He'll get rid of that stuff for you, all right? And so as we look at this, He wants to what? Preserve us blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Now, every time I used to read this, here's what I used to say. 25 years ago, one day I was talking to the Lord about it. I said, well, Lord, if you've saved me and you've done everything for me, why can't I just do whatever I want then? Now, no one here has asked that question, but I did, okay? I just said, Lord, what the heck? You know, if you've done it all, then why can't I just keep on going and do whatever I feel like doing and whatever I want to do? And he spoke to my heart. And here's what he said. He said, son, do you want to recognize yourself when you get to glory? And all of a sudden, other scriptures began to flood my mind, which say this, that nothing unholy or unrighteous can be in the presence of God. So here's what that means. It means that I'm not unsaved, I'm going to get to heaven, but anything that's not of him in my mind is going to be stripped away and left outside the gates of heaven. And so his question to me is, will you recognize yourself? Meaning, am I allowing myself to be renewed? Am I allowing myself to be sanctified here so that when I cross the threshold, only a little bit is left behind in a sense? And I believe that's the heart of every person here. You want to recognize yourself. You don't want to get to heaven in a sense by the skin of your teeth. You want to get there and recognize that you can say, Lord, I had a good trip coming here. You know, I was able to surrender things, able to give these things to you. And now, as much as I can be, I'm here in my wholeness and completeness. Everyone want that, right? We all do. We all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, we all want to hear that. Again, not based upon our works, but rather based upon what he's done in us and what we've allowed him to do. Amen? So having said that, As I, going back to this whole idea here and my wife and her heart, I began to wonder, okay, what can we do to learn more about the heart and how do we deal with all of this? So having said that, if you will turn to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower. It's in Luke as well, but I chose to go to the Matthew account. It's Matthew chapter 13. I have some picture aids for you to help you see what I'm going to be talking about. So Jesus is speaking here. Matthew 13 verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell among the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. So that's our first area, okay? The next one is, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, and because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Verse 8, the final one. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so before we go any further, just a couple of thoughts. There's some common things to these areas and some uncommon things. First of all, what's common? The seed and the sower, right? The sower sowed seed on all four places, didn't he? And there was a different reaction to the seed from the different areas. Now, what's beautiful about this particular parable, most of the parables in the Bible, Jesus doesn't interpret. In other words, he just kind of throws them out there and you got to figure out what it means. But in this one, he actually interprets exactly what he's saying. So you need to jump down a few verses. Verse 18, beginning at verse 18. And he begins to interpret exactly what he's talking about here. So therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. And so we're told a couple of things. First of all, what is the seed? It actually says what it is in verse 19. It's the word of the kingdom. Now, if you look up the word, it actually means logos. And that can mean a couple of different things. It can mean the recorded word of God. In other words, as you see in your Bible. But it really speaks beyond that as well. It's the truth of the word. It's what it is. When it's taken and placed in your heart, it becomes something more than just a recorded word. Like, you could pick up all kinds of English books, can't you? And it has the same words in it. Yet, what makes the Bible unique? It's the author of it, amen? And how those words are put in a certain order so that it brings forth truth. And so then we have the word kingdom. It says the word of the kingdom. That word kingdom you can actually exchange for the word realm. And so you could actually say then, when anyone hears the truth of the realm or the revelations of the kingdom of God. However you want to get it in your head, you need to understand that the seed is God's truth revealed. All right, that's what it is. When seed goes forth, when you plant a carrot seed, what do you get? Carrots, all right? You plant onion seed, what do you get? You get onions. Well, in a sense, God's word is like that. When it goes forth, it's not twisted or distorted. You're not going to get some kind of weird things coming out of it. When a truth of God goes out, it comes back not void, all right? It comes back and accomplishes that which was sent to do. So it's absolute truth. Can't be changed, can't be modified in any way. There's no GMO God seeds, all right? Everyone's good with that, all right? No modified seeds in God. Okay. And so here we have this word. And so what he doesn't understand, this individual doesn't understand the wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan, all right? The devil comes and snatches what was sown in his heart. And this is he who receives seed by the wayside. So let's think about this. The wayside, some versions just say the path. So what is that? That's packed ground. Think about that. The ground is so hard that the seed can't even get down into it to begin to grow. So it doesn't even sprout. There's no chance of life, and the enemy just snatches it away, all right? So that's our first area. Let's move on to the next one. It says, then, but he who receives seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And so in this case, the seed, it's the same seed, right? Truth of the kingdom is gone forth, and he hears it and receives it. He says, yes, that's right. And he accepts it at that point. Yet what happens? It says, because he has no root in himself, only endures for a while. And then we're told what that means. It's when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. Maybe family members come along and say, you're crazy to believe in that God stuff. You know, You're crazy, you know, just over and over and over again. You go to work and they tell you, you know, you're one of those Jesus freaks now, eh? You know, you begin to see what happens. And as a result of that, you then shy away and you give up your walk with the Lord in that area. Can I tell you, you'd never want to give up on Jesus. Here's why. He'll never give up on you. You know, so when tribulation and persecution comes on, you know what the book of James says? Thank God when these things happen. Just thank God. You know why? It means you're on the right road. It's not because the persecution is necessarily a good thing, but it's because when you have blowback, in other words, when things come against you, it means you could be going in the right direction. Now, I'm going to say something else to you. You know, so often we want to, as Christians, just have a cushy life. Now, let me take a survey. How many people would like to have a life without any problems? Okay, all right. Thank you for your total honesty, all right? And I get it. I'm one of the, my hand was up too, all right? So I'm with you. But why does God allow trials and persecutions and stuff to happen? In this case, the person, in a sense, stumbles as a result of it. Is that God's fault? First of all, no, it's not. But let me tell you what trials and tribulation does for you. When trials and tribulations come, that's when you get squeezed. And it's when you get squeezed, you find out what's inside of you. I was with Brian Bovee. And we were up in the ceiling about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago. And we've got a portion of the roof was partially collapsed from ice from a couple of years ago. So we were going to do some repairs. So I felt like the Mount Everest Sherpa guide because I've been up there so many times. You have to come up there and you go all the way. It's dark. You're crawling over rafters. And I'm the Sherpa guide, you know, guiding them to where they needed to go. So I'm going along, you know, and everything's going great. And you have to step over rafters. So I go to step over this one rafter, and somehow my foot hit the edge of it, and the board actually come out, flipped upside down, and then I stumbled, and then I put my foot down on it. Well, it turned out there was a 3-inch nail that was flipped around, turned up, and it went into my foot. Went right into my foot, right into the bottom of it. Now, I know for a fact, and I'm glad, Brian, that you're a little hard of hearing a little bit, because I could tell you, I got squeezed and some stuff came out that wasn't very nice. I could tell you right now, right? Listen, it was in so bad. I had to, picture this. I had to go grab the board with my hands and pull it off my foot, all right? It was in there, all right? Yeah, it hurt. But that's still no excuse. My point is, I got squeezed, so I apologize. But I'm glad you couldn't hear me. You told me that. Amen. But God did, amen. And so later I'd say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I know that I said some bad stuff. I know I did. I'm so sorry. But the point is, in our lives, that's sometimes you have to be squeezed before you know what's in you. And I believe that God allows those things in our lives not to crush us, but rather for it to be revealed so we can deal with it. Because that's His heart. He doesn't want anyone to fail, anyone to fall, but He wants to bring you to a place of such strength so that when things do come along, it just like bounces off you. So I pray I don't have to step on another nail to prove that, but I pray that if I ever do, I don't say the same things I did the last time. Amen. And so let's move on to the third one. And so then we have verse 22. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, this is a very interesting portion of Scripture because here, you know, again, the seed's growing, but the thorns just choke it all out. And that's the deceitfulness of wealth, you know, and the riches of this world. Here's the problem with this. The riches of this world, it's not like certain things in your life that are bad that you can just cut off. Wouldn't it be nice if every bad thing in your life you could just, or temptation, you could just cut off? You know, for example, for me, food. I like food. I like food. I'm a connoisseur of food, all right? I make those restaurant, those chef programs, I put them to shame. I can tell you what's good, what's not. Man, I like food, all right? So here's the problem. I can't just stop eating. I'll die. So now I have to exercise self-control. How many people know that can be difficult? All right? Well, in the same thing is with money. You know, it'd be easy to say, okay, money's a temptation. It gets me into trouble. I just won't deal with money anymore. Well, are you going to go live in a cave somewhere? You know, how are you going to deal in this world? And so you have to learn to regulate yourself in dealing with money and not letting it get the best of you, so to speak. I've heard it said years ago that if you want to know where your heart is concerning money, have a look at your checkbook. And for most of you young people, you're like, what? Checkbook? What's that? Okay, have a look at your credit card statement, all right? So let me update it, all right? And really, where you're spending your money shows you where your heart is. That's the reality of it. You know, that may make some people uncomfortable here, but that's the real part of it, all right? And so you have to decide, how am I going to control this so that it doesn't choke me in my walk with the Lord? Because how many people want the seeds of the kingdom, the truths of the kingdom, to bear fruit? Amen. We want that, right? Problem is, we've got these obstacles that we're dealing with. The hard-packed soil, we've got the rocks, and at this point, we've got some thorns as well. And so then we have the last one, the last interpretation of the last type of soil. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now here's the reality of it as we look at these four different soils. You just go to the next slide. Can I tell you the dirt's there? There's dirt in all four of those places. The problem is, in three of them, there's obstacles. In other words, that dirt's been packed down so the seed can't get into it. In the second one, you've got rocks that are in the way so that the seed can only get in certain places. With the thorns, it stops light from coming down and literally chokes it so those new sprouts can't grow, so to speak. And then obviously we got the one with a little plant growing, which is just perfectly clean dirt. Now, here again, just like I said with body, soul, and spirit, you know how I wish we could just separate all three, but it's not like that. It's like spaghetti. Okay, your heart is just like that. Not one person has a hard heart. Not one person has a thorny heart. Not one person has a heart, you know, not one person has perfect soil. Each and every one of us, you got to think of your heart like a big piece of property. You got some thorny areas over here. You got some rocky areas here. You got some packed down areas. And yes, you've got some good dirt over here. Now, here's the catch to all this. If God knows all this, why doesn't He just fix it? Right? Isn't God the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It's like Jesus. Hey, dude, can you see this? I got some thorns. Please, just take it away. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way at all. You are the heart owner. You are a free will agent. Though you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you didn't get shackled to Jesus and now you got to do what I'm telling you to do. It's not like that at all. You freely choose to follow Him. You freely choose to deal with some of these areas. And so these areas represent stuff that's happened to us in our lives. A lot of these rocky and stony areas are things that happened to us when we were just little kids. Maybe somebody hurt us in some way. You know, and we felt unloved. So all of a sudden we have a rocky area in the area of relationships. So when someone tries to get near us, we push them away because we got hurt in younger years. So there's a rock that's there. You know, that hardness could be that we didn't have an atmosphere of love in our family growing up. Or maybe we didn't have a family. Maybe we were in adoption agency homes or whatever. And so we've just become so hard and callous. Why? To protect our hearts. Because we didn't know what else to do. And so then when the seed of God's word comes, it's so hard that the enemy just steals it away. But here's the beauty of it. God has a plan in all of this. If I stopped here, we'd all leave pretty sad, wouldn't we? I was like, oh, I guess that's just the way it is. No, God's got a plan. And so I want to ask a couple things first before I get to the plan. So what are some symptoms of a medical heart condition? So let's go back to the physical part. What are some things that happen when you have a... Go ahead. Heart beating too fast. There you go. There's one. What's another one? Irregular heartbeat. There's another one. Yep. Yes, Eric, at the back. High blood pressure. There you go. Clogged arteries. How about pain? Chest pain, right? Feel like you got a weight on you, right? And I think for men, if your left arm gets pain up your left arm, that's another sign. Fatigue, right? Just general tiredness. Actually, you could faint, right? You know, you could have all kinds of... So the list goes on and on of all kinds of physical things that could happen when you have a heart issue. All right. Well, let me ask you, what about if you have a spiritual heart condition? What are some things that you might have then? What do you think? Fear. Harriet, you cheated. You gave me that last service. Yes. A hard heart. In other words, you know, an unwillingness to hear. How about frustration? How about anger? Depression? Doubt. Doubt was a big one. We heard that earlier. Unforgiveness. That's a huge one. Like that's probably, you know, takes up like probably half of the stuff. But yeah, so you could picture that there's almost a mirror of events that happen that when you have spiritual issues, that your heart's not right, it affects you. Now here's the thing. Sometimes spiritual heart problems will actually manifest as physical heart problems. I've seen that. I've done a lot of ministry over the years where I pray for someone, you know, dealing with a circumstance, and I'm saying, look, you've got to give this to Jesus. That literally because of the stress of that natural problem, they're actually hurting their hearts. And so through prayer and through them submitting it to the Lord, all of a sudden they go back to their doctor and he says, well, I don't know what happened, but that problem's gone now. It was because Jesus dealt with it. Quite often, physical conditions actually have spiritual roots. And we need to be aware of that. And that's why we're spending time with this today. So obviously some symptoms of that. So here's the question. Have you checked your heart lately? Amen? All right. So let me ask you. Who can see this condition? Obviously, your natural doctor is going to have some trouble with spiritual issues, right? So if you go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, I'm going to show you who can see it. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges or discerns, some versions say, the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, I want you to look at that for a minute. It says the word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. That sounds like a scalpel to me, doesn't it? And when you think about it, that sounds like a scalpel. Isn't Jesus called the great physician? So you see the parallels here. You know, we're talking about natural hearts, but spiritual hearts, there's so many comparisons here. And here we're told that Jesus, who is the Word of God, the living Word of God, you can look it up, is alive and active. In other words, he's not some dead guy in a book, all right? He's alive and active today. And so he has a scalpel. And here's what he does with a scalpel. He penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. If you look at a bone, it's giving a comparison here. If you look at how many people have eaten a ribeye steak? You know, it's got that round bone in it. And if you ever look at it, I'm one of those guys that would do this. A lot of people just chuck the bone. But if you look at it, look in the middle of it, and you actually see the hard part on the outside, and then you see the soft part inside, can you see a line that separates the two? You can't. And that's literally what this scripture is saying. It's saying, look, it's comparing the soul and spirit to joints and marrow. It's saying that you really can't see the difference between it because there's a connection that's so tight you can't discern which is which. Yet, here's what the Bible says. God can separate the two. He can separate what's of the spirit and what's of the mind. And he does that for your sake. How many times have you thought, hey, I've got a great idea. It must be God. And it wasn't. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Well, if we had taken that to the Lord first, he would have helped us to sort out what was a good idea and what was a God idea. We got too many O's in it, if you know what I'm saying. And so what we have to do as believers is to let him judge our thoughts and attitudes. And when you see the word judge, quite often, you know what we think? Condemnation. We think judge, we think in trouble, we think criminal offense, you're doing something wrong. But in the Bible, when you see the word judge, it means to render a right decision. It just means to say, this is right and this is wrong. And to be able to have a heart willing to submit yourself to God, say, Lord, what do you really want to do here? Delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible says, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen? And we need to come to a place where we're not afraid of God. You know why we keep our rocky areas and our hard areas and our thorny areas? Because we think it's better than what God has for us. Satan has deceived us into believing that. Because when God comes along, you know what He wants to do? Is give you something better. Always, always, always better. So who knows about these areas? God knows about it. Okay. So why do we need to correct our spiritual heart condition? So for a lot of us, we've been believers for a long time. We've functioned. We're getting stuff done. We're okay. You know what I'm talking about. We're kind of justifying where we're going here. Let me show you why. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay, if you were going to run an endurance race, in fact, let me back up. There was a time where I used to be in really good shape. I could run 4 miles and do it in less than half an hour, no problem at all. And after that, I'd be like, let's do it again. I could just, it's the most amazing feeling to feel the wind blow through your hair, which I used to have. And just to be able to run and not have to worry about your arms or your legs hurting, you could just push and push and push. And it's just an amazing feeling to be able to do that. And by the way, I can't do that anymore. 500 feet, I probably dropped dead of a coronary probably. But there was a day. And so think about that. If you were to run a spiritual endurance race and there was damage to your spiritual heart, what might happen? See, God's called us to run a race. And it's not a physical race, it's a spiritual race. And it says to lay aside every weight and sin. Sin just means mistakes, things that you're doing wrong. And that weight, I believe that weight refers to rocks and hard ground and thorny areas in our lives that we gotta dump off or else it's on us and we can't do what God's called us to do. How many people want to do what Jesus wants you to do? Yeah, we do. Amen. And so the thing is, these things hold us back. This has nothing to do with being saved or not saved. If you've accepted Christ, you're saved. This just has to do with running the race with endurance and enjoying the trip while you're going. Instead of going, you know what I'm saying? You know, you may be running the race spiritually, but how's it working out for you? You know what I'm saying? How do you feel at the end of the day? You know, are you drained? Are you stressed? Well, that means there's probably some areas you need to give over to the Lord. Your race with Jesus should not be strenuous. It should be pleasurable, enjoyable. There's going to be times where there's some difficulties. You know, if you do a marathon, a true marathon, you go up and down hills, you know, there's going to be some issues. But you're going to be able to finish the race. Why? Because Jesus, He's the author. He's at the start and He's at the finish line. And He's all the way in between with you along in that race. Amen? And so what we have to do, just like we sang in that song, we have to come to the cross. We have to come to Him and deal with the rocks and the thorns and the hard ground. You know, on our farm in Canada, you know, there was where I used to live. There was 100 acres there, and there was wooded areas, there was rocky areas, there was thorny areas. And so what we did in the early years is that you would work the ground that was good, but every year you try to claim a little more of the bad stuff. You try to make the field just a little bit bigger. So I remember as a little kid, we had this stone boat, it was called, and basically it was. It looked like a water raft, actually, but you pulled it on land, and it was just right flat on the ground. And as little kids, my dad would drive the tractor, and as little kids, we'd dig up the rocks with little shovels and put them on the stone boat to get rid of the rocks. Why? So that more crops could grow there. And the same with the brambles. We would take this bush killer stuff. It's probably illegal now. Like it's probably DDT and, you know, really nasty stuff. Spray it and kill all the stuff. Why? What were we doing? Reclaiming the ground. Jesus can't do this for you. He can show it to you. You can say, hey, there's an area here that I'd like to help you with, and you choose whether you want to let Him help you or not. Now let's move on to the next slide. As we finish up here, here's the cool thing. Jesus gives us the remedy in the parable of the sower. I jumped. You remember when I read the parable, some of you might have read the middle, he tells the parable, and then there's this scripture, and then he jumps to the interpretation, which I did. I want you to see this. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Let me help you understand this. How many people have gone to a doctor at one point in your life? Somewhere along the way. All right. How many people have received a prescription of some type from a doctor? All right. So you understand the process. You go to the doctor and he says, look at, based upon my looking at you and checking you out, this is what you've got. And what does he do? He writes out a script. He hands it to you, and what do? You go to CVS or Rite Aid or wherever you go, and you get your medicine, and you get the bill, you go, oh, unbelievable. That's how I am usually when I get it. But so you go, and you take the pills, right? And if he did his prognosis right, you get better. Now imagine, you go to the doctor, and you're there. Doctor says, okay, this is what I see is wrong, and here's the script. And at that point, you say, okay, well then, why aren't I better? And the doctor's like, well, you got to take the medicine before you get better. No, you said what's wrong with me, fix me, and then I'll take the medicine. How silly does that sound? Doesn't that sound stupid? Doesn't that sound crazy? Do you know that we as Christians, you know what you and I do sometimes? God, fix me, and then I'll follow your word. We don't say it out loud, but we do that. Lord, make me feel better, and then I'll see that your word is true. No. Look at what it says here. The last part of it. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. What comes first? Turn. Turn first. Just like the doctor giving the medication. You take the medication, then you feel better. And that's exactly what you and I need to do. When the Lord reveals that rocky ground, that hard ground, here's what we do. And I understand, I got my own ground to deal with. I'm like, but Lord, it hurts. And here's what we want to do. Lord, take away the pain and then I'll fix it. But the Lord says you got to deal with it first and then you'll feel better. You see what's got to happen first. You've got to make a choice to go to those areas that maybe are painful, that do hurt. And you got to do some house cleaning. You can't see it very well. You guys at the front can see it. But if you look at the heart, it's actually made like a jigsaw puzzle. There's puzzle pieces. And the idea is that your heart, I know you guys at the back won't be able to see it, but it's there. Just, will you believe me? Okay, it's there. All right. After service, you can come up and have a look. All right. But it's puzzle pieces. The idea is that your heart has all these different areas. In a sense, your heart's like a house. And here's what's happened. You've invited Jesus into your life. And where does he come? He comes into the front room. You got all that fixed up, right? You got the couches nice and the everything's clean and nice looking, right? And he sits there and you fellowship with him and it's awesome with Jesus. Now what happens is as you get to know the Lord more, he'd like to see more of the house, right? Just like any close friend, you'd be willing to begin to show them around. All right. So you begin to show them. You maybe show them the study and maybe the kitchen, a few other places. But how many of us have that room that you would not show anybody to? I have a that room, all right? It's like where everything goes, you don't know what else to do. And it's shut, it's locked, because it's that room. Now imagine if the Lord comes to that room and he says, what's in there? And you're like, you don't want to go in that room. Well, that room is the thorns, is the rocks, is the hardened path. That's that room in your heart. And you have to choose to let Jesus come in. Now here's the beauty of it. He's not going to come in and say, oh my God. He's not going to freak out. He's not going to freak out. You know what he's going to do? He's going to come in that room. He's going to say, let me help you deal with this. Let me help you do some cleaning here. And if you will let him into that area, whatever area it is, he will help you. He will provide the medicine that you need and the healing that you need. And yeah, there might be some hurting in the process as the scalpel of God's word goes in. There's obviously has to be some pain involved, but it's to bring permanent healing. So when it's all over, you're free. Your chains are gone, just like the song was, amen? You're totally free from it. So just in closing, I want you to see this last scripture. We already did the first part of it. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, but I added 24. And we're going to close with this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. That's the heart of God, isn't it? But look at this, verse 24. He, referring to Jesus, who calls you is what? Faithful, who also will do it. He's full of faith towards you that you can get the victory. Amen. So that your heart, when you do your heart checkup, you're going to get a clean bill of health by the great physician. Amen. That's God's heart for you. Amen. Let's stand and pray together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for all that you've done here this morning. And even before I even took any time to share, you had touched many people here. And I'm just grateful for that, Lord. Because without you, nothing happens, Lord. But Lord, right now, I just lift up the message that you put on my heart to share. And Lord, I pray that which was meant for each individual would just go deep within the good soil of their hearts. That, Lord God, there'd be no hardness, there'd be no rocks, there'd be no bramble bushes, no thorns, Lord. That it would go deep into their hearts and would produce fruit, bringing honor and glory to you. Lord, I thank you for every person here. And we all have that room. We all have those areas in our lives, Lord, that we just, either because of too much pain or frustration or whatever, we've had it for so long, we don't know what to do. We have those areas, Lord God, each and every one of us. But Lord, I know this, that if we are willing to let you have a look in that room, that you won't be ashamed of us, you won't get rid of us. You already know what's in the room. You already know, Lord God. So in a sense, we're just kidding ourselves. But Lord, as we open our hearts in that area to you, Lord, just with a willingness as we bring it to the cross, that you'll help us do some heart cleaning. That you will help us to come to a place that every area of our heart, we wouldn't be hindered in any way, that we could run the race, Lord God. To Lord, without feeling drained or weak, but Lord, just having the strength of a young person, Lord God. And Lord, just bringing honor to you. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, just even as we've been talking together, you've revealed areas, I know you have, to each and every one of us. And the Lord, we won't just leave here saying, oh, that was nice, and not allow you to do a work. Lord, help us to enlarge the fields of our heart, to become productive for you, to bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, bless us as well, because in the process, we're blessed as well. So Father, have your way amongst your people. We thank you for this day. Protect them. Give them vision this week to have a heart for you from morning till night forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you'd like prayer for anything, love to pray with you. God bless you this morning.